Good evening, everyone. Broadcasting live, January 22nd, 2016. How's everyone tonight? Some questions. Bhante, I am a beginner. Is this thought correct? The thought that you're a beginner? Or the next question? Daily activities as a lay person need concentration on the activities. And concentrating on mind. Don't understand. But maybe the grammar is just not right, but if you have to focus on your daily activities, and so you can't meditate, is that the idea? I mean, if you were able to be mindful throughout your daily activities, then you'd be an arahant pretty much. I mean, so don't worry about that. Just be a little bit mindful if you can, you know. It'll help you with your daily activity. Okay, here's a big question. 17 years old. Should I learn more from the normal videos? Oh, I've heard this before somewhere. Yeah, I mean, the kids' videos, a lot of adults have talked about how they're useful for adults as well. I mean, the point of the children's videos was to give a understanding of why we're doing it, you know? As kids have a hard time understanding why we would want to focus on ourselves, so it's a build-up to it. So, I mean, that's useful for adults as well, to really get a sense that this kind of meditation, where you actually repeat a word, is it's probably the most ancient and common sort of meditation technique. And so, and you can see why. I mean, if you use those kids' videos for kids, a three-year-old, I've gotten feedback that a three-year-old is able to understand it. They won't, apparently they can't become enlightened. You have to be 7 years old or older to become enlightened. But, I mean, I don't know, that's what the commentaries say, I think. But regardless, there's benefit. So, I mean, it's just those videos do work for kids, but you're welcome to watch them. I wouldn't put too much focus, obviously, on any of the videos for kids, except the last one. But the last one is sort of a hesitantly optimistic. I'm trying to say it's what I'd like to present to people, and I'm hesitant about it because it turns the four satipatthana into five, which, you know, obviously who am I to start having new enumerations, but practically speaking, having five groups, the body, the feelings, the thoughts, the emotions, and the senses, give you five groups, five ways of looking at experience. That's quite useful, I think. So the layout in that video is probably useful. But you can tell, like, my tone is for kids. It's not for a 17-year-old, for sure. So I'd focus more on the booklet and videos. And if you have time, do a meditation course. You can do one of our online meditation courses if you're not. And we can meet every week, talk about your meditation if you got questions. It's pretty simple. It's not like we talk for a long time necessarily, but it can lead you through the steps. Our quote today is about alcohol. And the folly that comes from it. That's why whoever follows the Dhamma should not drink or encourage others to drink. Knowing that intoxication is the result. Because of intoxication, the fool commits evil deeds and makes others negligent too. So avoid this root of wrong, this folly liked only by fools. Fool commits evil deeds. That's the thing, really, is alcohol isn't inherently a problem. Being intoxicated isn't inherently a problem. But it's an interesting substance. Substances are interesting. I was talking today about psychedelics. I mean, just taking a substance, in and of itself, the act of taking a substance is problematic. But when you take a substance for the purpose of, I mean, not all substances are the same. When you take a substance for the purpose of actually removing mindfulness, removing your ability to be concerned, to be alert, you know, what they say is it destroys your inhibitions. Well, those inhibitions are there for a reason. They don't go away. You don't become less inhibited because you drink alcohol. Except during the time when you drink alcohol. Right? Or maybe you do become less inhibited. The point being that the reason we have inhibitions is because we can discern that what we're doing is incorrect. Now whether our inhibitions are proper or improper, the very ability to have inhibitions is to know right from wrong, to be discerning about what you're doing. That faculty is gone, along with many faculties that are gone. The ability to drive is gone, that kind of thing. Depth perception, I don't know, all sorts of things. It's poison. Alcohol is poison. We were talking about psychedelics today, and I admitted that psychedelics have the potential to open your mind, broaden your horizon. Psychedelics are interesting in that psilocybin anyway, and apparently this guy was arguing that LSD as well, but psilocybin anyway doesn't do what we think it does. I mean, there's a study anyway, or there was a study. Who knows whether it's actually right, but apparently psilocybin doesn't increase brain activity. What we think of these things is they must induce some sort of hyperactivity in the brain, right? That's why we hallucinate. And apparently that's not what happens. they actually inhibit brain activity. There is a reduction of brain activity under the influence of hallucinogens. And so I was saying, as interesting as that might be, I mean, it gives the idea that it might come from the fact that the mind is freer to, it's not restrained by the senses. And so there's hallucinations, but the important point is there's a potential to open up your mind, to give you a new perspective. And but I said, you know, I mean, a car accident will give you a new perspective. It does the same sort of thing. I mean, it says nothing about the actual act of doing the drugs or getting in a car accident. It's not to say that a car accident is good, but anything that takes you out of your comfort zone, being taken out of your comfort zone, is a good wake-up call. It's not to say that that which takes you out of so that what takes you out of your comfort zone is in any way good, beneficial. I mean, even getting alcohol poisoning would probably sober you up, right? Getting put in the hospital for alcohol poisoning. But what was more interesting to me is this idea of the fact of taking substances is problematic. I mean, you can see it with alcohol. Your intention is to do something silly, you know, to lose whatever mindfulness you might naturally have. But just the intention, like in the case of psilocybin or in the case of hallucinogens, your whole reason for taking, why are you taking this chemical? I mean, if you accidentally ingest it, then there's nothing to it. But when you intentionally take it, the understanding that leads you to do it is a sort of a karma, for sure. I mean, it's a habit, what that means. It's going to influence your outlook. It's a part of your outlook on life, is taking drugs, taking substances. And so if you repeatedly take hallucinogens or if you repeatedly do alcohol, it's going to affect who you are. I mean, putting aside the effects of the actual drugs, which is actually another interesting point, because you can argue that hallucinogens or even alcohol are good for you. But you know, that's you know, anecdotal evidence. This is a clear case of where anecdotal evidence falls very, very short, because you'd have to look scientifically. I mean, in the case of meditation, we all say meditation's helpful for you, but they say, well, that's anecdotal. Except it turns out to be true that when you do study it, all indicators show that meditation is beneficial. I mean, but that's fairly obvious. It's, if a person takes alcohol and thinks, well, it's good for me and it helps me loosen up, I think a smart intellectual people would not take that very seriously, because if you think of when people are accustomed to drinking alcohol, let's not say alcoholics, but even just accustomed to drinking alcohol, it certainly doesn't make them better people, right? It doesn't make them happier people. I mean, I suppose many people do believe that if you don't take alcohol, you're just going to... Well, the thing is, you're going to have to deal with your problems, right? That's the whole thing. But, I mean, even hallucinogens, you know, to say that if you were to continue to do hallucinogens, that would somehow be a beneficial regimen of, you know, spiritual activity. I think 90% sure that's I'm 90% sure anyway that there are side effects to it, apart from just the intention to take it, which, as I say, is, I think, the key to it. If your spirituality involves taking chemicals, it's a misunderstanding of how the mind works, because it's like these ideas of enlightening other beings, you know, like transmitting the Dhamma so that other people become enlightened. Mahayana Buddhism has this, the idea that you can enlighten others, a Buddha can enlighten you, you know, just by force, kind of. You know. Well, maybe they don't, but I think some schools do. At any rate, let's suppose there is this idea, and I think a lot of people do have this idea that there are ways by which you can become enlightened. You take a shortcut. And so this person I was talking with, he said, I'm all about shortcuts. And so what I was trying to argue was the whole act of taking shortcuts is a problem. It's not dealing with your issues. It's not natural. It's not real. And I think that's an interesting key point, that it can never be possible. By very nature, taking a shortcut can't be possible. The mind isn't the body. So the idea that somehow affecting the body can fix the mind is, I think, intrinsically. I don't mean to say that it's just hard or we can't do it. It means it's intrinsically impossible. By its very nature, trying to change the brain fails. I mean, I guess what I say more is the individual's act of trying to change their own brain, to fix the problem by changing their own brain, is going to affect them. It's going to be karmically problematic. That's the idea. Anyway, so interesting ideas around alcohol. I mean, alcohol is pretty obvious to a meditator. You can't be mindful, you can't progress in meditation if you're engaging in drinking alcohol. It's interesting teaching at the university, because I'm assuming many of these people drink alcohol. I don't know what percent, but I've got a lot of karma to pay back. When I was in residence, my first year of university, they were handing out these pamphlets that said, if your friends can't have fun without drinking, then maybe you need new friends. And so I cut out the word without and put it up on our door. So it said, if your friends can't have fun drinking, maybe you need new friends. And I got my roommate, he is a nice guy, I haven't seen him in a long time, but from Sault Ste. Marie, Northern Ontario, where I'm the same latitude as me, Northern Ontario. And I got him to start drinking alcohol, and yeah, wasn't a great time. Anyway, so tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Second Life Time, I'll be on at the Buddha Center. I guess we'll meet in the main hall. That's the easiest place to find me. There's a nice place in the forest that they have, but it's probably a little harder for people to find. Maybe once we get settled, we'll move to the deer park that they have. I haven't seen what the deer park's like right now, but I'm assuming there's still a place there. I was flying around Second Life, around the Buddha Center this afternoon. In Second Life, your avatars can actually fly. Just trying to remember how the whole system works. How to move my character, how to move the camera. Spent about 5-10 minutes wandering around. So yeah, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Audio is a problem. Second Life isn't flawless, or it wasn't flawless before, but it's often because of people's hardware, and it's just difficult to get everything working. So some people may not hear, but you're not expected to use audio, you just listen. So you just need good speakers or a headphone, and you have to turn your mic off, actually, because that's a big problem, is often people feedback, and then we have to mute them or ban them, I don't know what they do. Yeah, SLT doesn't mean Sri Lankan time. SLT means Second Life time. Actually, it does mean Sri Lankan time as well, but not for us. So anyway, I guess that's all for tonight. See you all tomorrow afternoon, or any of you who are able to get on Second Life. Have a good night, everybody.